This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. 9:48 in the morning, Tuesday the 7th of April. And I think we're having a bit of a stimulus day on the show this morning because we've talked about Japan's emergency economic stimulus. We've talked about a potential US stimulus package. We've talked about our own stimulus package. And now we're taking a look at Singapore because yesterday Singapore announced another 5.1 billion Sing dollars to support businesses and workers during the one-month circuit break. And so together with its previous two packages, Singapore has set aside just shy of $60 billion, accounting for about 12% of the country's GDP.
Now, their Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister, Heng Swee Keat, announced the measures that include an enhanced job support scheme, with all firms getting 75% wage subsidies for local employees in April. Foreign worker levies will be waived also, and a $750 rebate provided for each work permit or S-pass holder. Now, each adult Singaporean will also receive a one-off $600 solidarity payment in April, and the self-employed person income relief scheme was expanded to cover more than 100,000 workers in total.
So for more on this, we have on the line with us this morning Lee Juye, economist at Maybank Kim Eng. Thank you for joining us today, Juye. So what might have been some gaps that were seen in the second stimulus package that prompted this announcement?
Yep. Hi, morning. Thanks for having me on the show. I think the second stimulus package on its own was a very generous and aggressive one. It was 10% of GDP, which accounts for the bulk of the total 12% of GDP. And even in the second package, the government had already allocated a large amount for the job support scheme, where they will co-fund between 25% to 75% of local wages. So in my view, I wouldn't say that the third package was introduced because of any gaps in the second package, but more so because of the government's latest decision that was announced last Friday to impose a one-month circuit breaker period, which starts today until the 4th of May. And yesterday's budget comes only 10 days after the second package. And the virus outbreak has been spreading quite rapidly between this period, with more domestic cases, unlinked cases spreading. And I think this has forced the government to take more drastic action. And hence, this third package was required for this, especially targeted for this one-month period.
And what are your thoughts on these new additional stimulus measures? Is the focus once again on protecting jobs and also providing for households?
Yep, I think you're right. The $5 billion in the third package is really to help support firms, protect jobs, as well as provide some help to the households during this one-month period because all of the non-essential services will be closed. And I think the measures in this third budget rightly addresses the needs of some businesses and the group of workers that are most affected by this outbreak. And even before this budget was announced, I think we have already seen the big impact of the COVID outbreak because the number of firms and businesses that ceased operations in the first quarter shot up by 80% from a year ago. And I think some of the major initiatives that were announced yesterday, especially the job support scheme enhancement, which now in which the government now steps in and co-funds 75% of local wages for all the sectors for 1 month of April, that would really help businesses to keep and retain their local workers. The foreign worker levies will also help the firms which hire a larger share of foreign workers. But having said that, I think that this third package was really targeted at saving locals, jobs for locals, sorry, while firms with larger share of foreign workers will receive far less. I don't think that waiving the foreign worker levy for 1 month may be sufficient for many firms to retain their foreign workers. And looking at the statistics, for Singapore, S-pass and work permit holders account for around 1.2 million people, which is almost one-third of the total workforce. Even the impact would be felt for Malaysians who are working in Singapore because it could force more Malaysians to return home because businesses are closing. And the shortage of foreign workers may actually impede the economy's capacity to capitalize on any recovery once this outbreak is contained because border controls may stay on for longer.
So, Juye, a question that has been posed is whether or not Singapore can afford to do this third round of stimulus measures. And at the rate that things are going, might we be looking at a possible fourth?
Yes, I think Singapore has really been saving for a rainy day by accumulating its reserves for a situation just like this one. And yesterday, the finance minister announced that the president's approval has been sought to draw down another $4 billion from the past reserves. And together with the $17 billion that was approved in the second package, that brings the total to $21 million that would be drawn down from the past reserves. Whether or not we may be looking at a possible fourth package, I think that in the event that the circuit breaker is extended for one more month, we can probably expect another package of around the same size and design as the third one, probably the government co-funding, continuing to co-fund 75% of wages. But even for that fourth package, there would still be plenty of reserves left.
Do we know what the impact of this more severe lockdown will be for Singapore and its economy?
Well, we think the short-circuit measures and this one-month partial lockdown is going to break the camel's back for many businesses. From our estimates, shutting down non-essential services for 1 month would cost about 10 billion Singapore dollars. That's around 2% of GDP. And non-essential services cover roughly around 30% of GDP. And this includes sectors like retail, non-essential retail, gaming, construction of residential and office projects, hospitality, as well as some parts of business services. In terms of jobs, we estimate that this lockdown would cover about 1.3 million jobs, or a third of local, a third of total employment, which is larger than the share of GDP. And this is because many of the sectors, such as retail, F&B, and construction, tend to be more labor-intensive compared to essential services like finance or electronics manufacturing. So there is going to be quite a steep impact in both GDP as well as employment.
And do you expect MAS to change its policy anytime soon and be more accommodative?
Well, I think at this point, the burden would be more on the fiscal side rather than the monetary policy. I think MAS also highlighted when it eased a few weeks ago that monetary policy would only be kind of a supportive tool because it really wouldn't be able to help businesses much in terms of their cash flow problems. So it would really be on the fiscal side to support these businesses survive this crisis. For now, we don't think that MAS is going to ease again in October, but it really depends if this crisis is going to last longer into the third quarter, then MAS may potentially have to step in as well.
So, Juye, what is your GDP projection for Singapore for the rest of the year?
Oh, so after the latest developments with this one-month circuit breaker period, we have slashed our GDP growth forecast quite significantly. Now we are looking at a minus 6% decline for the whole year, 2020. This is from our previous minus 2.3% forecast. And our forecast is well below the official estimate by MTI, which was between minus 4% and minus 1%. And it's a far deeper recession than what we have seen during the Asian financial crisis, when the decline was minus 2.2%, and the global financial crisis, when it was minus 3.1%. We think the contraction would be steepest in the second quarter. We are looking at around minus 16% year-on-year decline. And downside risks still remain, especially if the shutdown is extended and the cases do not subside. And if there is going to be an extension of the partial lockdown for one more month, we think that may bring down our full-year GDP growth forecast all the way to minus 8%. But for now, we are looking at a minus 6% decline for the full year.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Juye. That was Lee Juye, economist at Maybank Kim Eng, with a minus 6% GDP growth projection for Singapore now that they've announced their circuit breaker, in effect, a lockdown.
That's what happens when you're a totally open economy, very dependent on global trade. So once there's a shutdown, once there's a slowdown, you really feel the numbers. Unlike Malaysia, we do have some natural resources, a more diversified economy, a larger population, a more consumer-based one. So our numbers will be bad, but not as bad.
Bad but not as bad, I think, is something we can hold on to indeed. But right now we're about to head into the 10 o'clock news bulletin. But don't go away. After that, we'll be handing it over to our colleagues over on Enterprise for lots more fascinating business and news updates for you. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.